Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So one of the things I love about your responses to my prompts on this podcast is how you take technology that sounds pretty mundane or commonplace or not so extraordinary, the type of technology that we all have probably sitting in our closets, at least if we own a business, there's a very good chance we do. I'm talking about what I'm looking at the moment, which is one of those Jabra conference phones, the ones you see on conference tables that have good pickup. We talked in some early and very, very niche episodes, some of our first incredibly niche episodes, about pickup patterns for dictation specifically. Yes, quite a niche topic it was. And we talked about how you might want a very, very close pickup pattern to isolate the speaker, and you might want good sensitivity so that you don't have to be right up next to it. But the kind of at the opposite end of that scale is a very deliberately very wide pickup pattern, or very omni pattern, which is where these kind of things are good from. So you have people around a table speaking from different directions, and the microphone does a good job at getting the different people. But these things have something called beamforming, which sounds kind of crazy. When I was looking at one of these microphones that I had in my cabinet and putting in the user manuals to my inventory system, I was reading and said there's a ray of microphones and they're forming a beam as you speak. And I said, oh my gosh, this thing only costs $50. How can it have a beam of microphones? But they say it does, so it probably does. So how does that work exactly, Herman and Corin? Because it's not just a technology actually that's relevant for that use case, the conference microphones. You see this kind of marketed as well in microphones that are specifically actually just intended for one speaker, but you don't expect the speaker to be, you know, very rigid about the way they're directing it. Think about a microphone in a car, you know, those ones that they used to kind of put up in the roof. I don't know if it's still a popular design, but they were, I think, often kind of, they looked very much lav mics, and I always wondered what they were. Are they actually more like shotguns? But that kind of a use case, right, where you've got someone who's at the wheel and, you know, they're going to be turning their head left and right as they speak. And these are actually useful from a safety perspective, because the most dangerous thing, of course, is to do anything like holding a phone while you're driving. So they have to be forgiving by design. So that's what I'd love to talk about today, Herman and Corin, beamforming technology on microphones and how this actually works.
You know, Herman, I was looking at that Jabra conference puck Daniel left on the dining table this morning, and it occurred to me just how much we take for granted that these little devices can actually hear us. We are sitting in a stone house in Jerusalem with high ceilings and plenty of echo, yet when we use that thing, the person on the other end hears us perfectly.
It really is a feat of engineering, Corin. Herman Poppleberry at your service, by the way. And you are right, Daniel's prompt today is perfect, because beamforming is one of those technologies that feels like magic until you peek under the hood. It is essentially the art of using math to tell a microphone where to look.
I love that phrasing, telling a microphone where to look. Because usually, we think of microphones as these passive ears that just soak up whatever vibration hits them. But beamforming turns them into something much more directional, almost like a spotlight, but for sound.
Exactly. And the fascinating thing is that it does not involve any moving parts. There is no tiny motor inside that Jabra puck turning a microphone toward you. It is all done through digital signal processing, or DSP. Daniel mentioned conference phones and car microphones, which are the most common places we encounter this. But the applications go way deeper into things like hearing aids and even high-end audio recording.
So, let us start with the basics. If I am sitting at a round table, and there are four other people there, and we have one of these beam-forming arrays in the middle, how does it actually distinguish my voice from the person sitting across from me?
Well, it starts with the concept of a microphone array. Instead of one microphone, you have multiple. In that conference puck, there might be 6 or 8 tiny microelectromechanical systems, microphones or MEMS microphones arranged in a circle. Now, sound travels at a constant speed, roughly 343 meters per second in air at room temperature. Because those microphones are in different physical locations, your voice will hit each one at a slightly different time.
Right. We are talking about milliseconds or even microseconds of difference.
Precisely. This is called the time difference of arrival. If you are sitting to the north of the device, the north-facing microphone hears you first. The south-facing one hears you a tiny fraction of a second later. By comparing these arrivals, the processor can triangulate exactly where you are sitting.
Okay, so it knows where I am, but knowing where I am is different from actually isolating my voice. How does it filter out the noise from the other directions?
This is where it gets really cool. It uses a principle called phase interference. Have you ever seen ripples in a pond? If two ripples meet, they can either combine to make a bigger wave or cancel each other out. Beamforming does this with the electrical signals from the microphones.
So it is essentially constructive and destructive interference.
You got it. The processor takes the signals from all the microphones and adds them together. But before it adds them, it introduces a tiny intentional delay to each signal. If it wants to listen to you in the north, it delays the signal from the north microphone just enough so that it perfectly aligns with the signals from the other microphones that arrive later. When those aligned signals are summed up, your voice gets much louder. That is constructive interference.
And I assume the opposite happens for the noise coming from other directions.
Exactly. For sounds coming from the sides or the back, those same delays cause the signals to be out of phase when they are added together. They effectively cancel each other out, which is destructive interference. So, the microphone array creates a virtual beam of sensitivity pointed right at you while creating dead zones everywhere else.
That explains why the audio quality on those conference calls is so crisp. It is literally muting the rest of the room in real time. But what happens if I get up and walk around? Daniel mentioned car microphones where the speaker's position might shift. If I am driving and I lean over to check the mirror or adjust the radio, does the beam lose me?
That is where we move from fixed beamforming to adaptive beamforming. A fixed beamformer is like a flashlight taped to a wall. It is great if you stay in the light, but useless if you move. An adaptive beamformer is more like a spotlight operator following a singer on stage.
So the processor is constantly recalculating those delays?
Yes, every few milliseconds. But in 2026, we have moved beyond simple math into what is called neural beamforming. Modern chips use deep learning models to predict where a voice is going. The algorithm is looking for the strongest speech-like signal. It uses a voice activity detector to make sure it is not accidentally tracking the air conditioner or the engine noise. Once it identifies the human voice, it adjusts the delays in the microphone array to keep that virtual beam centered on your mouth. In a car, this is vital because you have constant road noise, wind, and the hum of the tires. The system can actually create a null, or a dead zone, specifically pointed at the engine.
I imagine the computational power required for that has changed significantly over the last decade. I mean, we used to have those clunky hands-free kits that sounded like you were underwater.
Oh, the difference is night and day. Back in the day, we relied on analog beamforming, which was very limited. You had to physically design the circuit for a specific direction. Now, with modern digital signal processors, we can run complex algorithms that handle dozens of microphones at once. We are talking about billions of operations per second just to make sure your mom can hear you clearly while you are on the highway.
It is interesting you mentioned the highway, because that brings up another challenge, echo cancellation. If I am in a car, and the person I am talking to is coming through the car speakers, their voice is bouncing around the cabin and hitting the microphone, why don't they hear a massive echo of themselves?
That is a separate but related technology called acoustic echo cancellation, or AEC. Beamforming actually makes AEC much easier. Because the beamforming array is directional, it can be programmed to ignore the sound coming from the car's speakers. It knows where the speakers are located relative to the microphones, so it can preemptively subtract that audio from the signal. It is a multi-layered approach to cleaning up the sound.
Let's talk about the hardware for a second. Daniel mentioned those Jabra pucks. I have noticed some of the higher-end ones have way more microphones than the cheap ones. Is there a point of diminishing returns? I mean, could you have 100 microphones?
You actually could, and in some industrial applications, they do. There are acoustic cameras that use 128 microphones to visualize sound leaks in factories. But for consumer tech, there is definitely a sweet spot. The more microphones you have, the narrower and more precise your beam can be. Think of it like resolution in a camera. A 2-microphone array can give you a rough idea of left versus right. A 4-microphone array can give you a decent 90-degree cone. But with 16 or 32 microphones, you can create a very tight, laser-like beam that can pick out one person's voice in a crowded cafeteria.
That sounds like the cocktail party effect. You know, that human ability to focus on one conversation in a noisy room. We do that naturally with just 2 ears, which is incredible when you think about it.
It really is. Our brains are the ultimate beamformers. We use the slight delay between our left and right ear, combined with the shape of our outer ear, the pinna, which filters sound differently depending on the angle. Engineers are basically trying to replicate what our biology does effortlessly. But because microphones don't have a fleshy pinna to help them, they have to use more microphones and a lot more math to achieve the same result.
I want to go back to something you said earlier about hearing aids. That seems like one of the most impactful uses of this tech. If you are hard of hearing, a traditional hearing aid just amplifies everything, which makes a noisy restaurant a nightmare.
That is exactly the problem beamforming solves for the hearing impaired. Modern high-end hearing aids often have 2 microphones on each ear. They can coordinate with each other over a wireless link, effectively creating a 4-microphone array across your head. This allows the hearing aid to automatically zoom in on the person you are looking at. It suppresses the clinking of silverware and the chatter of other tables, focusing only on the speech in front of you. It is a life-changing application of spatial filtering.
Is there a downside to this? I mean, if the beam is too narrow, do you lose the naturalness of the sound? I have noticed sometimes on conference calls that if someone turns their head, the volume drops off sharply or the voice sounds a bit thin or robotic.
You hit on a major trade-off. It is called the steering error or off-axis coloration. When you use heavy beamforming, you are essentially throwing away a lot of sound data. If the algorithm is too aggressive, it can start to interpret parts of your voice, like the high-frequency sibilance or the low-end resonance, as noise and cancel it out. That is why some people sound like they are talking through a tin can.
And I suppose room acoustics play a role there too. If I am in a room with a lot of glass and hard surfaces, the sound is bouncing everywhere. Does that confuse the beamformer?
Oh, absolutely. Multipath interference is the enemy. If your voice bounces off a window and hits the microphone from the side, the beamformer might think there are 2 of you, or it might try to track the reflection instead of the direct sound. High-end systems use de-reverberation algorithms to try and distinguish the direct path from the reflections, but it is a massive computational challenge. That is why, even with great tech, a room with carpets and curtains will always sound better than a glass box.
You know, we have been talking about this in the context of picking up sound, but isn't beamforming also used for putting sound out, like in those fancy soundbars or even concert speakers?
Yes, it is the exact same principle but in reverse. It is called transmit beamforming. In a high-end soundbar, you might have 20 small speakers. By varying the timing of when each speaker fires, you can create a wavefront that travels in a specific direction. You can literally bounce a beam of sound off the sidewall so it reaches your ear from the side, making you think there is a surround speaker there when there isn't.
That is wild. So you could technically have a soundbar that sends the audio only to the person sitting on the left side of the couch and keeps it quiet for the person on the right.
Theoretically, yes. There are specialized speakers called parametric speakers that do exactly that. They use ultrasonic waves to create a very narrow beam of sound that only becomes audible when it hits a surface or a person. It is used in museums sometimes, or you can stand in front of a painting and hear the description, but the person 2 feet away hears nothing. It is like a private audio zone.
It is amazing how much of this comes down to the physics of waves. Whether it is light, radio, or sound, the math is remarkably similar. I mean, 5G and the emerging 6G cellular technology uses beamforming too, right?
Spot on, Korn. 5G base stations use massive MIMO multiple input, multiple output, which is basically a giant array of antennas. Instead of broadcasting a signal in all directions like a traditional cell tower, they use beamforming to point a dedicated beam of data directly at your phone. It is the only way they can achieve those high speeds and handle so many devices at once without them all interfering with each other.
It makes me wonder what the next step is. If we have this in our phones, our cars, and our conference rooms, where else could it go? Could we see beamforming used in things like smart homes to detect where a person is falling or if there's a security breach?
Definitely. There is a lot of research into using microphone arrays for indoor localization and activity recognition. Imagine a smart home that knows you are in the kitchen because it can hear the specific signature of you chopping vegetables, and it can tell exactly where the cutting board is. Or a security system that can hear a window breaking and point a camera exactly at that spot before the glass even hits the floor.
Or even just more natural interactions with AI. Right now, if I talk to a smart speaker from across the room while the television is on, it struggles. But if it had a more sophisticated beamforming array, it could essentially ignore the television entirely.
We are already seeing that with devices like the Apple HomePod or the latest Nest speakers. They use circular arrays to constantly map the room's acoustics. They actually play a test tone when you set them up to hear how the sound bounces off your walls, and then they use that data to calibrate their beamforming. It is incredibly sophisticated stuff for a $100 device.
Let's talk about a misconception I have heard. Some people think that noise-canceling microphones are the same thing as beamforming, but that isn't quite right, is it?
Not exactly. Noise cancellation is a broad term. You could have a single microphone noise cancellation that uses software to identify and subtract constant noises like a fan or a hum. But beamforming is a form of spatial filtering. It doesn't care what the noise sounds like. It only cares where it is coming from.
Right. So a single microphone can filter out a steady hum, but it can't distinguish between my voice and another person talking at the same volume right next to me.
Exactly. To separate two similar sounds, like two people talking, you need spatial information. You need more than one ear. That is the power of beamforming. It is the difference between hearing a sound and knowing its coordinates in three-dimensional space.
It is also interesting to think about the privacy implications. If a microphone can be that directional, it could theoretically be used to eavesdrop on a conversation from across the street, couldn't it?
Yes, and that technology has existed for a long time. You might have seen those parabolic microphones that look like big satellite dishes. Those are a form of physical beamforming. They use the shape of the dish to reflect all the sound waves to a single point. Digital beamforming just does that with math instead of a big plastic dish. It is much more discreet. There are definitely ethical questions about how this tech is used in public spaces, especially as it gets cheaper and more powerful.
I remember reading about some cities using microphone arrays to detect gunshots. They can pinpoint the exact location of a shot within seconds by comparing the arrival times at different sensors across the city.
That is a classic example of wide area beamforming. It is the same principle as the conference puck, but scaled up to an entire neighborhood. It is fascinating how the same fundamental math can be used to make a business meeting clearer or to assist law enforcement.
You mentioned blind source separation earlier when we were talking off air. How does that fit into this? It sounds like a more advanced version of beamforming.
It is. Blind source separation, or BSS, is the holy grail of this field. In standard beamforming, you usually assume you know where the speaker is or you are searching for one clear source. BSS is when you have multiple people talking at once and you want to separate all of them into individual audio tracks.
Like on baking a cake.
That is a great analogy. You have the final recording where everyone is mixed together, and the BSS algorithm tries to extract the original ingredients, the individual voices. It uses a mix of spatial data from the beamforming and statistical analysis of the voices themselves. It is incredibly hard to do in real time, but we are getting closer.
Imagine a podcast where we could just sit in a noisy cafe, record with one device, and then perfectly separate our voices later. That would be a game changer for field reporting.
We are almost there. Some of the new AI-powered audio tools are doing a scarily good job of this. They are using neural networks that have been trained on millions of hours of speech to guess what a clean voice should sound like, even when it is buried under noise. When you combine that AI with the spatial data from beamforming, you get something truly powerful.
It is interesting how much of our world is being shaped by these invisible technologies. You don't see the beam, you don't feel it, but it completely changes how we communicate. I think about Daniel's car example again. It is actually a safety feature. If you can speak naturally without having to lean toward a microphone or yell, you are a much safer driver.
Absolutely. It reduces cognitive load. You aren't thinking about the technology, you are just having a conversation. That is the mark of truly successful engineering. When the technology becomes so good that it disappears.
So, for the listeners who are curious about the gear they already own, how can they tell if they have a beamforming device?
If you have a smartphone made in the last 5 years, you definitely have it. Most phones have at least 2 or 3 microphones, one at the bottom for your mouth, one at the top for speakerphone mode, and often one near the camera for video. When you are on a call, the phone uses those microphones to create a beam that focuses on your voice and cancels out the wind or the background noise. If you look at your laptop, you will often see 2 tiny holes near the webcam. That is a dual microphone array for beamforming during video calls.
And if you are buying a conference speaker for your home office, look for the microphone array specs. Usually, they will brag about having 4, 6, or even 8 microphones. Generally speaking, more microphones in an array will give you better performance in a reverberant or echo-heavy room.
That is a good rule of thumb. Also, look for the term full duplex. While it is not strictly beamforming, it goes hand in hand. It means the device can handle people talking at both ends simultaneously without cutting anyone off. Beamforming is a huge part of making full duplex sound natural because it prevents the speaker's own voice from looping back into the microphone.
We've covered a lot of ground here, Herman. From the physics of waves and constructive interference to the ethics of eavesdropping and the future of AI-driven voice separation. It is a lot more than just a puck on a table.
It really is. It is a perfect intersection of physics, mathematics, and high-speed computing. And it is all happening in the background of our lives every single day.
Before we wrap up, I think we should give a quick shout-out to the people who make this show possible. If you are enjoying these deep dives into the tech that surrounds us, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. It genuinely helps other curious minds find us.
It really does. And if you have a weird prompt of your own, like Daniel did, head over to myweirdprompts.com and send it our way. We love digging into these topics.
All right, Herman. I think I'm going to go give that Jabberpuck back to Daniel before he realizes it is missing. I want to see if I can trick it by talking to it from behind a pillow.
Good luck with that. The algorithms are getting smarter than you think. Thanks for listening to My Weird Prompts. I am Herman Poppleberry.
And I am Korn. We will catch you in the next episode. See ya.
Take care, everyone. Goodbye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.